So in the same way, the Indra felt very offended when he found out that Rock was given more worship than him, and he took revenge. He commanded a huge army of destructive clouds. You see them there around the temple room. Each one of these clouds is powerful enough to destroy two universes, in case you didn't know. He brought the Sambhataka clouds and a lot of rain. You can see this rain also falling down. Schüttet richtig, sagt man. Then, in order to protect the people of Vrindavan and hold true to his promise that worshipping him alone would be sufficient, Krishna lifted the Govardhan like an umbrella and protected him. Then, for 7 days, it's important, 7 days, with this he wanted to show, take shelter in me alone. Do not take shelter in any devata, that's the first state, in any god except for me. Do not take shelter in the saints and the rishis. Just follow my advices. Do not take shelter in any powerful human ruler like a king. Do not take shelter even in your own strengths. Do not take shelter in your own wealth. Do not take shelter in your own intelligence. And then one seventh thing which I have forgotten. Take shelter exclusively in me alone. This is the message of this Leela. We are now sheltered under Krishna's wonderful shelter. Be careful when you leave it. There are thunder clouds out there and the rain is pouring down. Stay under the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That's, so to say, the message behind all this. Yesterday we were ordering some thunder. It was ferocious thunder. We connected it to our loudspeaker, but because the loudspeakers are so pure and so transcendental in the temple, the thunder sounded like the sound of mosquitoes attacking. No one was very impressed. But the idea. The idea is really, let us take shelter from all the adversaries or the problems of life under the capable protection of Gopal Raj, Gopal, the transcendental king of the kingdom of life. So in order to celebrate this idea, in the evening we are reading and chanting together from the Govardhan, Govardhan Vasha Ratana Dashakam. These are 10 prayers by Raghunath Das Goswami to Giriraj. And we will chant these together this evening also, and in this way take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and Giriraj. I just wanted to explain this so that you know why there is such a transcendental room now and what is the meaning of all of this.
Madhava Kunya Viha Madhava Kunya Viha
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Wow, that is an improvement.
As we learned yesterday, the Govardhan Vasa Pratana Dashakam is a composition which was written by a great saint, Raghunath Das Goswami. He had written this composition in a style which is called Ut Gurna. When devotional feelings become very intense, they can become almost like the hot lava in a volcano. And when there is a possibility for these feelings to manifest, in other words, when there is a worshipable object in this, when Krishna appears before the devotee, or when Govardhan, in this case, appears before Raghunath, then these devotional feelings come out almost like the hot lava inside the volcano, and pour out and erupt. Those of you who have seen, maybe on YouTube or in real life, how the lava boiled over and ran out of a volcano, you will have a good image for these prayers. They are like hot lava. They are very much full of devotion, and they pour out of the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. Therefore, they are very much appreciated amongst devotees. So, excellently intoxicating, amorous pastimes. by giving me permanent residence near you, you will thus send guarantee that I will be able to witness these pastimes. O Lord Vadhan, please give me permanent residence near you. In the first verse we heard also about the word mata was used, which is that kind of intoxication or blindness which comes when pride clouds our vision. Indra had protested and attacked Krishna and his people due to this blindness of pride. He had forgotten his own Lord and protested and rebelled against him. Here another madness or mada is explained. That is the madness of love. There's the madness of pride, and right on the opposite side of the scale of emotions you find a similar intoxicated state, the state of divine love. And it is in every cave of Giriraj, the mystical mountain, that these pastimes of divine love go on. The Raghunath prays, I want to have residence at your feet, in your valley, close by, that I can witness with these very eyes the divine pastimes. Even if a newer devotee, a person who is not yet so accomplished that he can see the divine Kapurara and Krishna with his eyes, even if such a person comes close to Govardhan, he cannot but notice the wonderful divine atmosphere which is surrounding around Giriraj. You come to this Govardhan, you ask, why is the atmosphere so different? And your mind asks, well, is it maybe because of the many saints who live here, who have surrendered to Giriraj, and who have devotion to Krishna in their hearts, that this atmosphere is so special? Or you think, is it maybe because these Dandavatis are here, these are devotees who circumambulate this mountain by paying their obeisances. They don't measure the distance with their steps, but with their body lengths. There are some devotees who offer 108 obeisances at one spot. Imagine 108 flat dandavats before they get up and move. Just have their hands touch the ground and start the same process from there. It takes them 2 years, to 2 to 3 years, according to their athletic inclinations, to finish this parikrama or this circle. So you wonder, is it because of this that the atmosphere is almost pregnant with devotion? But then you sometimes in the evening have another explanation. When you go around Giriraj in the evening hours or the early morning hours, you all of a sudden feel a very fragrant breeze. It smells so beautiful that no perfume in this world or no flower in this world can be responsible for this fragrance. And then you know there's something going on here. Maybe this Radha and Krishna who have their pastimes here in the caves of this wonderful mountain. So Raghunathas Goswami refers to this. He says, in every cave of yours, the eternally youthful couple carry out excellently intoxicating amorous pastimes. And if you come in this atmosphere, you become affected, deeply affected, even sometimes transformed and changed for good. One of these pastimes I would like to carefully tell you. It is Krishna one morning desires to meet Krishna, to meet Srimati Radharani, and he has no idea where he could find his beloved. So he comes near to Govardhan, and there he meets upon one of the dear gopis of Radharani, Vishakha. And Krishna addresses her, "Oh Vishakha, can you tell me where Radha is?" Well, that same morning Vishakha was with Radharani, and Radharani had said to Vishakha, "Talk to Krishna in such a way, please, that he becomes attracted to me. Please do this." So Vishakha, true to the nature of the intimate, they're called left-wing gopis, says to Krishna, "Why are you asking for Radha? You are not even qualified to take her name into your mouth. There is no chance that you can meet my Radha, because she is very chaste to her husband. But you, O Krishna, are known as an unchaste young boy. Also, my Radha is very pure, but you are very dirty, because all day you walk behind the cows of Vrindavan, and they sometimes make cow business, so that falls on you, and the dust is coming to you. So you may not come even near to my Radha, who takes 3 baths a day." So this way Vishakha talks, and Krishna finds it intolerable and interrupts it. "Oh Vishakha, you have called me an unchaste young boy, but do you not know that the great saint Dubhasha Muni has called me the perfect brahmachari? I am beyond all of this. I am totally fixed in Brahman. Don't call me like this. Also, you have said that I am impure, but don't you know that countless people chant my holy names to become purified in their heart? Then why do you call me impure?" In this way, Krishna cleverly counters all the arguments of Vishakha, which are meant to convince him that, which are really meant to increase his longing to meet Radharani. So Vishakha said, "You can talk the day into the night, and the night into the day, by your clever words, but still you are not qualified. Only if you are helped can you see my Radha." So Krishna then says, "Can you please help me? I will give you give you a warm embrace. Stay away from me, son of Nanda. But yes, I can help you meet Radha. She's at this moment in a cave at Govardhan, worshipping the sun god. But you can almost stay 100 meters in the distance. Don't come closer. So Krishna agrees to this proposal, and Vishakha leads him to the cave, where Krishna sees from the behind Srimati Radharani's wonderful braid, which moves as she rings a bell and offers a puja to a little deity, which is the sun god. She's born in the dynasty of the sun. Her father is called Vrishabhanu. Bhanu means sun. And she's also called Bhanuja, the one who's born from the sun. So she's there worshipping her family deity. But Krishna hears, she sings prayers to him, requesting the sun god to arrange a meeting between her and Krishna. Krishna hears from him. Krishna's hearing is very good, and so he hears. Srimati Radharani is always, and then he comes and approaches Radha. I would like to tell you a story about the meeting of Radha and Krishna in the caves of Govardhan. You must know that Srimati Radharani is always very shy before her friends when it comes to Krishna, because she is afraid that her friends will lovingly make fun of her and her relationship to Krishna. So at one time, the gopis were stringing garlands, like these little girls, or grown-up girls, I'm saying here, underestimated your age. They are making flower garlands, so the gopis sit together and make this good tradition, you're following good footsteps. They make flower garlands for Krishna. So when Radharani sees her gopi friends are busy, she steals away from them and gives Rati, a small manjari, a sign by winking at her. And Rati understands and secretly follows Radha to Govardhan. There Radharani sits already with the veena and says, "Rati, I want to teach you to sing a song. When I meet with my Pranavallabha, Krishna, Pranavallabha means the darling of my life, then we will have pastimes in one of these caves here, and you should be outside of the caves and sing this loving song which I will teach you. Come, Rati, sit in front of me." And Rati comes. She is so much full of love for Radha. Radha's beauty is stunning. Even the light from one of her toenails is more beautiful than all the beauty combined which you find in all the universes. And she comes and sits before Krishna. Radharani plucks the strings of her veena, it's a stringed instrument, and sings with a very sweet voice a love song. So when she says, "So when Shyama Sundar and I will be resting within a grove, from just outside, sing at the appropriate times. Now, Rati watches Radha getting lost in the song, and Radha sees how a beautiful tear wells up in one of Radha's eyes and rolls down her cheek. She cries and enjoys this intimate association. Her heart is pounding with excitement, and she feels extremely privileged to be able to be instructed by Radha Rani in the art of playing the veena and singing the song of love. Now, whenever a devotee sings about Krishna, Krishna, if it's done with devotion, Krishna is not able to keep himself apart from that devotee. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam where Narada Muni is explaining his own observation of his own kirtan. He says, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart at the moment where I sing about his glorious name and his pastimes. So imagine Narada Muni talks of the ultimate kirtan experience. The moment he sings, he feels Krishna, as if attracted by a magical mantra, comes and sits on the throne of his heart. So when Radha teaches this song about Syam Sundar Krishna to Rati, Krishna obviously hears it and is drawn to this cave. It's described in the Goswami literature. He becomes like a snake which is hypnotized by the charming snake song. So he is pulled to where this beautiful scene takes place. And he then comes and says, what song is it, Radha, that you are teaching your Rati? So Radha immediately becomes shy. It wants to play it down. He says, nothing, we are just rehearsing something. But Krishna sits down beside Radha and with a sweet smile requests her, please let me hear the song which you are teaching Radha. And Srimati Radharani cannot refuse Krishna. And therefore, she hands Rati the veena and says, Rati, sing the song which I have taught you so far. Now, Rati is an eternally liberated person, and she knows the song. She has it in her heart. So she starts to sing that song, and it is so sweetly that the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, feel as if the theme of the song, that is what is described in the song, is happening right before their very eyes, and they become very lovingly inclined to each other. They have a very nice Rati has a voice which is full of ras, that means full of transcendental sweetness, a very particular mellow. And when she finished, Srimati Radharani and Krishna just shake their head and say, it's beautiful, just beautiful, only beautiful. Then Radha embraces Rati and gives her a gunja necklace. And Krishna is so totally touched by what he has just heard that he felt he has experienced the pastime in the song. So this is what Raghunath Das Goswami refers to. He says, in each and every cave of yours, the eternally youthful couple carry out excellently intoxicating amorous pastimes. Please give me permanent residence near you, so that I will also be able to witness this. Raghunath Goswami has prayed earlier, it was in Vilavakusha Manjali, "Oh merciful girl Radha, because you are shy before your friends, will you take me to a cave of Govardhan Hill to lovingly teach me singing divine songs in various melodies?" And what he refers to is a sweet secret which all of you should be aware of. Raghunath Das Goswami is here in this earth in the body of an ascetic monk, but he has an identity in Krishna's pastimes. In the same way, you are here going through the vicissitudes, it's a complicated word, the ups and downs of your life, but this is not the real self, the real Atma. The real Atma is eternally a part of Krishna and has as its birthright a longing to again be reinstated or be again in the pastimes with Radha and Krishna. It's your birthright. You were born a nectar, my dear devotees. You should not be satisfied with anything else than nectar. Now, what I very much appreciate as a practicing devotee, trying to practice devotion, is the mood in which Raghunath Das Goswami here prays for entry into these pastimes. He says, "Oh, please, if you so want, give me residence near you." My dear devotees, you can't force this. You can't force your way into the spiritual world. It doesn't work. There was once a young sadhu, a young saintly person, I mean, who wanted to, a person from Mumbai actually, who wanted to take up the path of saintly life. And he came to Govardhan on this earth, this was just 10 years ago, and he wanted to be just very close to Govardhan and live in one of these caves. There are different caves, and if you go around Giriraj, you can see some of them. They are locked usually, because in the past there were sadhus living there, but now they are careful because they remember the sadhu from Mumbai. This Mumbai sadhu was climbing up Giriraj and living in one of these caves, hoping to one day in this way see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Now, in his cave, there lived two very big snakes from here to there. And one day he felt a little uncomfortable, and he said one day to the villagers, "What should I do? You know, I live in this cave, but there are two snakes living along with me. Sure, can I kill them? When they are asleep, take a stone and..." And the villagers, the Brajpali said, No. "These are great saints. They are rishis. They have taken the form of snakes so that human people will not disturb them. Leave them alive. They are very powerful." I don't know if you have ever lived with a snake next to you. You're not very peaceful. I lived once in a place in Vrindavan where was Rava. And next to me was a mungo. There lived a mungo. And I know wherever mungos are, there are snakes, because the mungos live by feasting on snakes. So although I never saw a snake, I only saw my neighbor, the mungo. He came back in the neighbor room and slept in the room. Maybe he's so tired, he sleeps so well, that the snakes will come and get me, because I'm from Germany. And I may taste differently, the blood and all that. So I remember when I was asleep, I was fully asleep, and when I was chanting nicely, it worked for some time, but then the mind, the rascal monkey mind, it produces all kinds of images of black cobra standing one left of you, but right of you. So it must be disturbing to live in a cave with two of these huge snakes, not the small snakes. So somehow the sadhu who wanted to force his entrance into the divine couple's pastime was there in that cave, and no one knows exactly what transpired, but what they know, what the villagers will tell you, is that the sadhu didn't come any longer down from Govardhan to ask for rotis and sabjis, the means to supply himself with food. And and when they went up to see how he was doing, if he was fine, as God Krishna would say, are you fine? They saw the sadhu was lying in the cave. He was bitten on the leg and in the head by these cobras, which stayed in the corner and which looked at the villagers. So my dear devotees, it's very, very good that we approach these high topics like witnessing the divine couple's pastime with this mood of Raghunath begging for residence, and not forcing our ways in, not building a stairways to Goloka, so to say. This will not work in the spiritual sense. Good. I would like to now move on. We will not chant all the verses. Verse 3 talks about Govardhan, because Giriraj is now interrupting Raghunath Goswami. You're praying to reside next to me, but why don't you stay in any other place in Vrindavan? Why do you have to stay next to my caves, next to my mountain? And Raghunath needs to now supply different arguments. He says, you have leelas in all the rasas with the cowherd boys. There is a particular leela which I want to see, where you were forcing the gopis to pay some humorous toll. Also, I know you are close to Radhakund, where Krishna's and Radha's most intimate pastimes take place. And I want to be next to you and nowhere else, because you nourish the dear servants of Krishna, the cows, with your grass. And you protect the Brajvasis. And Radha herself has called you the greatest servant. So all these points are made in the different shlokas, but I just want to give you a summary. And then Raghunath Goswami comes to the ninth verse, which we will chant together. Oh, thank you so much. Can we maybe see the slides? Not just now, but afterwards. Without the... Is this possible? So we will just chant the ninth verse and then maybe remove all the texts with your magical computer hand. And then we can see these beautiful photos of Giridhar. We can actually sing some very nice bhajan. The Gaur Krishna bhajan bank will sing for you. So, are you ready to chant?
Yes.
Good. But he is also the friend of all those who come to him. It is said about a sadhu, a real saint, when you come before a real saint, no matter who you are and what you are you are freed from your material existence. It is said, when one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. You know, a real sadhu will always be kind to you. He will overlook your mistakes and he will just give you mercy and he will give you love. I just read a book which was written by an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this Narahari Sakar is asking the question, how will the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu go on after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left the planet? Will it go on by very good management? Will it go on because there's a lot of money? Or will it go on because of this and that? And he says no. The love of Chaitanya, with which he elevated all people who came in contact with him will be distributed by the loving devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think this is very significant. We as devotees can become instruments in Lord Chaitanya's mood or movement when we become loving towards others, when we do Vaishnava Seva, serve the Vaishnavas and help them to grow. This is much better than criticizing them for their real or imagined mistakes. It is better to give them to serve them and help them to grow. If someone is kind to me, I will give everything to him. So by this loving approach of the Vaishnavas, not only to other Vaishnavas, but Jiva Daya, to all living entities who wanted to help others to grow, something happens, my dear devotees. Narahari Saka, Narahari is not Saka, Chakravarti is his name. He says, the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will manifest in the hearts of the devotees who are prepared to give love and kindness to others. A very interesting analysis how the movement of Gauranga will go on. Yes, and this is expressed here. Giriraj is a friend to all. That's why you see in Vrindavan sometimes friends, 5 or 7 young schoolboys going barefoot around Giriraj. They do this before they have their school examinations. They pray here to Giriraj, please let me pass my examinations. I was not very good in learning my homework. I was playing too much. Now only with your mercy, Giriraj, I will be successful. You see the rich man from Delhi going around Giriraj praying for success in business. You see the young brahmachari going around Giriraj praying that no Mataji will even look at him. You will see the young Matajis going around Giriraj praying that they will marry the young brahmachari. You will find everyone approaching this wish-fulfilling mountain, so to say. And in some ways, it's a magical, mysterious way. Giriraj can fulfill and does fulfill these conflicting desires. He is therefore called the unparalleled, there's no competition, a giver of happiness to those who take shelter in him. It is therefore that the devotees pray one particular prayer which I want to chant with you.
Shaya.
Christ's unlimited miseries, that he bestows the highest grace. Thank you.
Thank you.
is a blessing for all of us who have at least touched these beautiful and very powerful prayers. It says, one who diligently studies and recites these 10 bhakti-filled verses of Sri Govardhan, the topmost amongst the various mountains in the world, attains residence here in this joyous place at once. Having attained such residence, such a soul quickly attains the jewel of the all auspicious service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So this is what happens when we immerse or absorb ourselves in the best of Krishna's servants, the Haridas, Avarya, Giriraj, Govardhan. Having said this, I would like to just mention my own experience. It was about, I always forget, but more than 15 years ago that a good friend of mine, Burijan Prabhu, suggested that we come and invite each year devotees at the site of Govardhan. And what will we do there? Well, we will do what devotees do. We will talk about the glories of Krishna and his holy name. And from that, the Govardhan retreats started. I remember the first time when we came, we started the retreat in December. Oh, it was foggy in Vrindavan, quite cold. So the early morning, we were all, you know, like marine soldiers rubbing on our belly underneath the barbed wire which was around Giriraj, and took up residence there. We sat under trees and we had about 15 or so devotees who were listening to various presentations on Krishna's glories and Bhagavata, I mean, bhakti filled subjects. And from that, you know, our Govardhan retreats have drawn a lot of attention. So now there are sometimes 400, last year 480 registered devotees, but many come as guests of the day. And we have these retreats there. I'm giving this retreat. I was doing it reluctantly because Vrindavan, I want to forget that my name is Sachinandan Swami. I want to remember that I'm not any of this, and just a servant. And I do not wish to be a public figure there, but during the retreats I'm there, and my dear devotees, I can only tell to you something which is surprising to me. The Giriraj, the mountain which you have seen in the slides which we showed you, has stopped to be a mountain and started to be a person. How can I say this? Well, I can say it because, you know, to a mountain you have natural feelings like, wow, how nice, how steep, how, you know, this nature-loving feelings you have. But to a Giriraj, when you are in his presence, you think all of a sudden of Krishna, you think of ultimate things, and you feel he is a person, and he appears in your dreams, and he, like I said to you, you have a desire, for instance, sometimes something very small, you know, you want a long blanket because it's too cold. And next morning, you find the blanket before your door. It's a mystical, wish-fulfilling experience there. And I invite all of you to make also this experience by coming to the Govardhan retreats. We have a web page. I think most of you are internet users, so there is a web page, Govardhan retreat it's called, and then you can find and download lectures. You can also find details when the next retreat is, and so on. And I invite you to make a little adventure, to jump out of the box of your life, the narrow box of your life, and come to this amazing Giriraj and be just next to a transcendental personality. It may be difficult for you to find a truly transcendental personality in which you can develop faith. It may be difficult because, after all, we live in Kali Yuga. It's a difficult age for everyone. But when you are next to Giriraj, you will be rewarded with all your boldest expectations. They will be even superseded, übertroffen. So please do make this journey to Vrindavan. Please make this journey. It will be very helpful for your spiritual life. With this, I want to end here. I think Gaura Hari is somewhere in the atmosphere. At least I feel a sweetness in the atmosphere. Certainly. No? Then this is Giriraj, maybe. I wanted to know what is going on now. Yes, I felt you in the atmosphere, Gaura Hari. Hare Krishna. Gaura Hari will tell us how the rest of the evening will go on. For now, I will say thank you very much. May Giriraj bless all of us. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.